Well, that has me excited for Easter Sunday. Thank you, Jennifer. That was a blessing. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, go with me to Acts chapter 9 tonight, Acts chapter 9. And I want to talk to you about the exponential impact of service. The exponential impact of service. When I think about service, I immediately think of one company, Chick-fil-A. Christian Chicken. Even though they're closed one day a week, Chick-fil-A consistently outperforms their competition both in profits and customer satisfaction. Now, the food is delicious, and I sampled it a few hours ago just to make sure I knew what I was talking about, okay? The food is delicious, but customer satisfaction and customer service is really their secret. Their employees consistently rank as the most professional and polite in the industry. You walk into the dining room, and it's clean. The workers are dressed in clean, modest apparel. They smile, they get you your food quickly, and when you thank them, they always respond, "My pleasure." Whenever someone ranks customer service, Chick-fil-A is always on top. They are the gold standard for service. Now, while the church is not a company and the people who come here are not consumers, selfless service ought to be the MO of God's people. The Church of Jesus Christ really ought to set the gold standard for service. Tonight, we're going to meet a minor Bible character who made a major impact on her community in one way because she served. She set the gold standard for New Testament Christians. Let's read Acts chapter 9. We'll begin in verse 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. A simple definition of service is putting someone else's needs before my own. To serve is to put someone else's needs before my own. Now, you're here tonight, you're thinking the last thing I need is a message about service. I'm the one with a need. I came to church tonight because I need something from the Lord, or I need someone to serve me. Maybe you're going through a season of suffering or a trial. Maybe your marriage is struggling. You're in trouble with one of your children. Maybe you've lost someone that you love and you're here grieving tonight. I don't think I need a message about putting others before myself. Well, here is a principle that all spiritually mature people know. When you put the needs of others before yourself, God inevitably meets your own needs. I'm going to say that again. When you put the needs of others before yourself, God takes care of you. Someone has said that joy comes through prioritizing life in this way: Jesus, others, you. I have found that self-focus kills joy, but that Savior-exalting, Spirit-filled service bursts it. If you want to walk out of here tonight with a full cup, with the power of God flowing through your life, with joy no matter what season of life you're in, you have to learn to serve. God cannot fill us when we are full of ourselves. On the other hand, if you will empty yourself and die to self, God will fill you. Here's the big point of the message tonight. Through service, your life can make a difference. It can make a difference on the people that you serve. It can make a difference on your city, in your world. And most of all, it'll make a difference in your life. Serving will change you. And we see that in the life of a woman named Tabitha. If you want to experience the exponential impact of service, there are a few things you got to do, and Tabitha gives us the pattern tonight. Number one, acknowledge your gift. Acknowledge your gift. We see in Tabitha that she acknowledged her gift. You must acknowledge that you have been gifted for service. Now, this story takes place in Joppa. Remember, Joppa is the place that Jonah was trying to get to when he was running from God. It's close to modern-day Tel Aviv in Israel. There was in Joppa a woman named Tabitha. Tabitha is her Aramaic name. Dorcas was her Greek name. I'm going to call her Tabitha because I can't say Dorcas without laughing, okay? Now, we don't know anything about Tabitha except that she was a believer. She was full of good works, and she served the poor. So imagine, here was a woman who believed in Jesus Christ, and at some point in her Christian life, she decided, I'm going to serve. I'm going to do something for the one who's done so much for me. God's given me a little time. He's given me a little money. He's given me some talents and some gifts, and I'm going to acknowledge those things as gifts from His hand, and I'm going to use them for the Lord. Now, there's someone here, and every time we talk about service, you think, I don't have much to offer God. I don't have a lot of money. I'm not a public speaker. I'm not a gifted musician. I can't teach. I can't sing. So I really can't do all that much for the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not true. God created you, and He doesn't make junk. You have unique talents and abilities, and they can be used by God. I came to tell you tonight, God can use you. After all, the greatest ability is availability. Don't you ever insult God by saying, God can't use me. The great danger in life is not that you won't do what some other Christian will do. The great danger in life is that you won't do what you can do. And you can do something for the Lord. Amen. Did you know that every Christian has a spiritual gift? If I were to raise your hand and ask how many of you are saved tonight, no doubt most of the hands in the auditorium would shoot up. On a Wednesday night, most everybody here is saved. But if I were to ask you if you have at least one spiritual gift, I don't think all the people who raised their hand to the first question would raise their hand to the second question. If you would raise your hand to the first question, but you wouldn't raise it to the second question, you just don't know what the Bible says. Because the Bible says that every person that's saved has a spiritual gift from God. You got it the moment you were born again. 1 Corinthians 12 and 7 is clear. Every believer has a spiritual gift. You say, Pastor Gillette, how do I know what my spiritual gift is? Well, a great way to figure that out is to study 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans chapter 12. Those are the chapters on spiritual gifts. And you ought to go home and read those if you've never read them tonight. And I think you'll learn something about the gifts that God gives to His church. But if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, probably the best way for you to figure it out is to go ahead and test drive a ministry and see if you're good at something. Now, over the years, we have done some spiritual gifts assessments, and you've taken those tests. And I think those tests are helpful in some ways. They can reveal perhaps some talents and abilities and spiritual gifts that you have. But by far, the best way to discover your gift is just to get involved. You may get in a ministry and figure out that's not your ministry. It won't work for you. That's okay. That's why I tell people when you get in a ministry at the beginning, you're test driving, you're not buying. You're going to be there for a few weeks, maybe a few months, and you're going to see if you're a fit there. If you're not a fit in one ministry, don't quit ministry forever. Find another ministry to get involved in. And eventually, here's what happened. Is your faith, when you try out a few things, somebody's going to say to you one day, you know what? God really used you today. That thing you did, that was exceptional. You are really good at that. And as you do that thing, you're going to face some fear. Everybody who serves the Lord fears some apprehension. But you will also feel a spirit-enabled joy as you serve the Lord. And based on the confirmation of people in your local church and the spirit confirming and a witness inside of you, you will know, I have found my place of service. I've discovered my spiritual gift. Every Christian here needs to acknowledge, I have a gift. And the best way to discover that gift is to deploy that gift. Get involved in ministry. So Tabitha acknowledged her gift. I have a little time. I have some talents and abilities. I'm going to use them for the Lord. I'm not going to say God can't use me. In the second place, if you want to make an exponential impact through service, you need to activate your gift. Activate your gift. It says in verse 36 that she was full of good works. Not full of good intentions, full of good works. I like this. Tabitha was the kind of person that didn't sit back and wait for the perfect opportunity. I have to wait for something that perfectly aligns with all of my talents and my schedule. It has to be something I've already mastered so that I don't have to be worried about making a fool of myself. No. She was the kind of person who looked for something good that she could do for someone else. Can I tell you something? God honors that kind of attitude. Where's the need and how can I help? Those are the questions that servants asked. Where's the need? How can I help? Is there an opportunity to serve, and how can I get involved? And when you have that kind of servant's attitude, God will honor it in two ways. Number one, he'll further clarify your calling. It says in verse 39 that they showed Peter the coats and garments that Tabitha had made. She had a really unique ministry. Apparently, she had a little fabric and a little thread, and she was good as a seamstress. And there in Joppa, there were a lot of poor people who didn't have a coat. And if you don't have a coat, you'd like to have one, wouldn't you? So Tabitha just decided, and I'm sure it was very quiet, and they didn't promote it in the bulletin or on the website. Tabitha just decided, you know what, I have some fabric and I have some thread and I know how to sew some things, so I'm going to start making coats for poor people in our community, and we're going to use it as an outreach, as a way to get the gospel to people who need it. Some of the poor didn't have coats and she met a need. God opened her eyes to a need that she could meet, and God will do the same for you as you get involved. There's somebody here and you're not exactly sure where to get involved, but you're thinking something like this. You know, I'm here every Sunday morning. I mean, I'm sitting through the service. Why couldn't I be an usher that smiles at somebody and helps them find their seat? Well, sure you could be. Sure you could be. I'm here in the Wednesday night service, and I love coming and worshiping and praying and hearing the Bible preaching. But I've heard thousands of Bible messages in my life. I really haven't. I'm going to hear a few more on Sunday. And it would be okay once a month if I took a place in the nursery and helped some of these Embrace Grace ladies so some of them who don't know Christ could get access to the gospel. I could do that. You know, there are thousands of people all around the world who need to hear the kind of gospel preaching that I enjoy every week here at Worth Baptist Church. I could run a camera. I could push a button. I could run a live stream. I'm good at technology. And thousands of people would get access to the gospel if I could just serve. But we were here on Sunday night, and there was a big storm supposed to roll through, and Delcus had us all scared to death. I mean, I thought the roof was going to blow over while I was preaching on Sunday night. I'm so thankful that there were some men who are willing to step out of the service on a Sunday night to watch the radar and watch the doors to make sure we were safe in here and we could enjoy the preaching of God's word, aren't you? And there's some guy here who says, you know, I'm not the biggest, most muscular guy, but if somebody would train me, I could stand at a door once a month and keep everybody safe inside. That's something I could do. You see, a servant's attitude just says, where's the need and how can I jump in? It may not be exactly what I always envisioned myself doing. And I don't think Tabitha thought when she was a little girl, one day I'm going to make coats for poor people. But it was a need, and she was ready to meet it. What are the needs here at Worth Baptist Church, and how can you get involved? Those are the questions that a servant asks. If you'll have a servant's attitude, he will further clarify your calling. Number two, he will give you more opportunities to serve. You see, God really expanded Tabitha's ministry. And that coat ministry apparently became one of the most important ministries in her local church. I think Tabitha proved a promise that Jesus made. And listen to what he said. He that is faithful in that which is least shall be made ruler over much. I think a lot of people have these big dreams about doing grand things for God. That's not how it starts. Anyone who's ever done anything great for God started out by being faithful in a very small thing. And that's how the kingdom of God operates. Look for the little thing. And as you're faithful in serving God, he gives you greater opportunities to use your gifts to impact more people. I'm not the first to make this observation, but I've noticed it in the scriptures. You know, every time God calls someone, they're busy. Notice that. Do you know God calls busy people? Peter and Andrew and James and John were fishing when the Lord called them. Moses was leading his father-in-law's sheep on the backside of the desert when he saw the burning bush. David was faithfully watching his father's flock when Samuel showed up to anoint the next king of Israel. God calls busy people. And if you want to make a great impact for God, you got to start by doing something. Another way to say it is it's awful hard for God to direct a parked car. And a lot of Christians are parked cars in auditoriums. Let's be honest. God calls busy people. We have a host of ministries around here that need more manpower, and many of you who are not serving should just go ahead and volunteer. If you end up in the wrong ministry and you have to find a new one, don't worry, God will accept your apology. Just kidding. Go ahead and volunteer to do something for God, and you can trust that in his time he'll put you where you can make a maximum impact for his glory. And Tabitha shows us that. So number one, she acknowledged her gift. You have a gift, acknowledge it. Number two, she activated it by getting involved in ministry. And it didn't seem like a big deal at first, but God really used it. Number three, she advanced the gospel. And when you get involved in service, you advance the gospel. Apparently, after serving for some time in this coat ministry, Tabitha fell sick and she died. And the leaders of the churches of Joppa sent word to Peter. Hold on a second. Peter, the number one apostle. Peter, the preacher on the day of Pentecost. Peter, the BMOC in the early church. And these leaders from the church of Joppa were so concerned because the lady who made the coats had died, that they sent word to the great apostle Peter, you got to get here because we can't do without Tabitha. Pretty incredible, isn't it? Now, some of you think, what impact could giving out some food on a Monday really make at the food pantry? What impact could going to a nursing home really make? Only a few folks are showing up. What impact could being a greeter or changing a diaper in the nursery really make? Let me tell you something. It makes more of an impact than you can imagine. Here was a lady that just made coats for poor people, and so much was happening through it that when she died, they got an apostle to come and raise her from the dead. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Just think for a minute, okay? What if no one showed up on Monday to work the food pantry? Well, over 100 people in the city of Fort Worth wouldn't have access to the gospel every month. I'm glad somebody shows up. How about you? Amen. What if no one went to the nursing home on Sundays? Hundreds of people, and that's what it is now, hundreds of people would not get Bible preaching or have pastoral care there in those nursing homes. What if no one changed the diapers, worked on the bus routes, taught the classes, manned the safety teams, greeted visitors, sang specials, played in the orchestra, or cleaned these buildings? If no one did these things, you'd have to board up these buildings and shut this church down. We couldn't do it. Think of the hundreds of people that come to Christ through the ministries of Worth Baptist Church every year. That's not an exaggeration. Hundreds. Think of the over $800,000 that went to worldwide missions last year because of this church. You may think that your ministry is small and unimportant. Nobody talks about it behind the pulpit, but it is not. It is a vital part in seeing souls saved and seeing the gospel advance in Fort Worth and around the world. And if you're doing something at Worth Baptist Church, you're a big part of what God is doing in this world. I can promise you, it's important. If a seamstress couldn't die without the church requesting resuscitation, then every ministry and every person involved matters for the mission. I believe that with all my heart. Now, two benefits quickly that Tabitha experienced from serving. If you'll get involved, you'll know these benefits too. Number one, she experienced God's power. She got the incredible blessing of being resuscitated by the Apostle Peter. And I could just see her friends gathering on the holidays and bragging about all the things they did last year. We went to Greece on vacation. Our son Johnny got accepted into medical school. Bill was promoted at work. Tabitha said, well, all I did last year was make some coats for poor people. Some of them got saved, and oh yeah, the Apostle Peter prayed for me and I rose from the dead. Greece and med school are nothing compared to the power of God in a person's life. And I'm not saying that if you get involved in ministry, you're going to get resuscitated. You probably won't. What I am saying is that if you get involved in ministry, you too will experience the power of God in ways that you could have never, ever imagined. If we were to pass the mic tonight, you would hear some faithful servants of God saying some things like this. God used my ministry to make me more like Jesus Christ. God used ministry to take my eyes off myself during a season of suffering and put it on others, and joy came. God used ministry in my life to introduce co-laborers to me that have become like second family. See, brother and miss so-and-so over here, God used me to knock on their door and they got saved. See, that young person over there, I led them to Christ in Sunday school when they were a child. Every time I come to church almost, I think about the awesome power of God, and I wouldn't have known it if I hadn't served. And all around this room are people who have been the beneficiaries of the service of other people, and we wouldn't be here without it. And that was God's power channeled through the life of an individual who activated and acknowledged their gift. Do you see that? So number one, she experienced God's power, and you will too if you serve. Number two, she expanded God's kingdom. Look at verse 42 again. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And that's the potential of ministry. And it all started with a woman who made some coats for poor people. Many people came to Christ and believed. She acknowledged her gift. I have something to offer the Lord. I'm going to do what I can. She activated her gift and started sowing and serving and caring. God used her gifts to advance the gospel, and there was a movement in the city of Joppa. And would to God that when he records the story of Worth Baptist Church in the registry of heaven, when he writes your story and my story, our shared story, that he will write, and it was known throughout all Fort Worth, and many people believed in the Lord. That'll only happen if we have an army not of spectators, but of servants. In the best-selling book, The Butterfly Effect, author Andy Andrews shares the story of an unsung hero of the Civil War. His name was Joshua Chamberlain. He was a former professor of rhetoric from Bowdoin College in Maine, and he became a colonel in the Union Army. That day, Colonel Chamberlain and his unit were on the far left side of the line at the battle at Gettysburg. Right before the battle began, his commanding officer told him, "Whatever you do, you cannot let the rebels break through your side of the line. You're on the very edge. And if your unit falls, they will get the high ground and we will lose the battle." Chamberlain committed to his officer that no matter what happened, their unit would stand. They would not retreat. They withstood 6 charges that day. Their unit of 300 was down to 80. They were completely out of ammunition when the Confederates began their 7th charge. His remaining men begged him, "Sir, we have to retreat. We cannot stand another one." He decided that since they had no ammunition, they would fix their bayonets on the end of their muskets, and instead of standing their ground, they would charge. Imagine that. When the Confederates saw them charging, they assumed that they must have reinforcements because no unit of 80 men would charge without reinforcements. And that day, over 400 Confederate soldiers surrendered to 80 men with no ammunition, and the Battle of Gettysburg was won. Chamberlain later wrote, "I had no real knowledge of warfare or tactics. I was only a stubborn man, and that was my great advantage. I had deep within me the inability to do nothing. And I knew I may die, but I would die with a bullet in my back. I would not die in retreat. Like the Apostle Paul, I said, this one thing I do, I press toward the mark." Now that's a tremendous story, but Andrews, the author of the book, insists it's made more of an impact on you than you know. He writes, "If Gettysburg was lost by the Union, the South may have won the war. If the South won the war, the strength of our nation would have been divided. If the strength of our nation was divided, who knows whether we could have withstood Japan and Germany in World War II. He writes, "Because there was a man with a deep inability to do nothing, we are speaking English and not German." Pretty powerful. The point? One servant can make an exponential impact. And not just today, but for generations. And would to God that every true Christian had within them the deep inability to do nothing and the desire to do something. Amen. And may God help us. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful for the example of a woman named Tabitha who simply did what she could. She had some time, she had some gifts, and she used those things for your glory, and many believed in the Lord. And there are some folks here tonight who desperately need to deploy their spiritual gifts. They need to get involved. And once they knew, I know great joy is going to come to their life. They're going to see people trust in Christ. You're going to use them in ways they never saw, they never thought that you could. It will be an amazing, amazing thing in their life. And as their pastor, I earnestly desire that they would get involved in service so they could know all the joy that you have for them. Lord, if there is someone here tonight who is not deploying their gift, I pray tonight they'll make a commitment before they leave that they will do so. We have several areas of service where we need people to get involved. And I pray tonight some of those important positions will be filled. Lord, if there's someone here without Christ tonight, I pray that you would save them. That you'd remind us this evening that we are not saved by our work, but by Christ's work. And that they would put their faith in that work tonight. Thank you again for this lady and the example that she sets. Give us a whole church full of people with a servant's attitude like Tabitha. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.